Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. Today's passage contrasts the way of darkness with the way of light. The father warned his child to avoid alliances with evil companions. His exhortations against joining up with unrighteous people do not forbid our witnessing to them, but they do forbid any partnership in their plans. Please open your Bible to Proverbs 4, verse 14, and listen as Pastor Ray Viola completes his discussion of this chapter.
Verse 14, enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Walking in the path always will lead you somewhere. Life is likened to a path because every action takes you somewhere, and ultimately to your eternal destiny. Scripture tells us that the path that we choose to take in life is what will shape our values, our attitudes, our lifestyles. And now here, the father is telling the children, and I was told, watch out for the bad crowd. Well, little did mom and dad know, they soon found out I was the bad crowd that people were supposed to avoid. When Paul wrote to the church of Corinth, he put it this way in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part has he that believes with an infidel? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord. The importance of knowing that in Christ, you and I are now a separated people. Telling our sons and daughters that when you belong to Christ, you're no longer of this world system. You have to live with the fact that you're no longer going to fit in with the crowd. You avoid the peer pressure. Isn't that powerful? Now, we think that only youth have peer pressure. Adults have peer pressure. Grandparents have peer pressure. Everybody has peer pressure. Everybody wants to conform you to their image. And here, the father is telling the son, beware of these kinds of people. Now, you can't exist out of the world. You have to work. You go to school and all of those things. He's saying being a separatist. He says, you be separate. You be a light where you are. In the book of Ephesians, we read in chapter 4, verse 17, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off, concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God has created in righteousness and in true holiness. And that's true of us. We're new creatures. You believe that? We're new creatures in Christ. See, he is our identity. We've been crucified with Christ, buried with Christ, risen with Christ, seated in heavenly places in Christ. That's who we are. That's us. And yet we still have this traitor dwelling in us, our flesh, that we have to put off. It doesn't go away. We've been delivered from the power of the debt of sin, but not from the presence of sin. And we need to learn how to walk that separate life, that holy life, that godly life in this fallen world. That's what Paul is telling believers. And that's what we need to tell our children. Talking about the path of the ungodly, he says in verse 15, avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. Notice four verbs, avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, pass away. In other words, don't go there. Don't enter into the path of the wicked. Paul says in the book of Romans, make no provision for the flesh. You give the devil an inch, and he'll take a mile, making no provision. Notice the wicked. They sleep not except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. They're always thinking of mischievous things. Well, wasn't that you before you were saved? Where are we going to go? What are we going to do? Where are we going to cop the drugs? Where are we going to do this? Always thinking of mischievous things to do. How we're going to do it. Even thinking about it at night. Where are we going to go? What are we going to do? Notice the unsaved's communion. They eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. That's their communion. That's because the god of this world, their god, is the devil. Oh, they don't know that. I was shocked to find out after I got saved that he was, the Satan was the god of this world, who was really setting the agenda for everything that I was pursuing, looking for, to be a source of happiness or fulfillment. And I got lied to. That's because the devil's a liar. You know, we sang of the body and the bread, you know, the cup and the wine. What a difference now in Christ. We really have a life that is worth living. But the path of the just, the opposite of those who are unsaved, is as the shining light that shines more and more unto the perfect day. Progressive growth in Christ. The path of the Lord is one of light and life. Life and light. It's the path of walking in the light of Christ. Jesus is the light of the world, and we now are walking in his light as he is in the light in this fallen world. It's shining brighter and brighter, and the world is getting darker and darker, isn't it? What an opportunity you and I have to shine for Jesus Christ. Paul the apostle said to the church at Philippi in chapter 2, "Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and disputing, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world." God calls us to shine as a light in this fallen world. And notice that beautiful harmony between human responsibility and God's sovereignty. We don't work for our salvation. We're working out the salvation that God has given to us. But it's God who is working in us now, both to will and to do of what? His good pleasure. Before we're born again, we lived for our pleasure. Now we live to serve him and to please him. And this is what a father and a mother tell their children. Honey, you profess to know Christ, whether they're 5 years old or 8 years old, you're professing to know Christ. And now it is your responsibility to live for him and to please him and devote your life to him, as we sang tonight. See, that's the most important thing to any parent, right? Regardless of what their vocation is. We want our sons and our daughters and our grandsons and our granddaughters to know Christ, to live for Christ, and to live for his glory. That's the most important thing, that they bring glory to God. And here, this is what the dad is telling his children, that as you heed the words of God, the instruction of the Lord, as you love him supremely with all of your heart, you're going to shine brighter and brighter as the world gets darker and darker. Verse 19, the way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. You know, there are only two roads, two paths for a person to be on. It's either the path of the just or the way of the wicked. Jesus put it this way in the Sermon on the Mount. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leads unto life, and few there be that find it. The father, the mother, the grandparents directing their children, their grandchildren, to seek Christ, to walk that narrow way that leads to life. How important it is that our children know the biblical boundaries, that our grandchildren hear from us. You see, because if we don't take the responsibility to teach our children the truth of God, you can be sure, and you and I know it from personal experience, someone else is going to teach us a lie. And so here, he's teaching them the way of the wicked. It's dark. It's a path of ignorance. It's a path of selfishness. It's the flesh. And in our flesh dwells no good thing. The way of the wicked is darkness, because the prince of this world is darkness. And until a person is born again and spirit-filled, we are blind. We're unable to see or discern what is right or what is holy. And then again, my son. So could it be that he's talking to the son? Did you ever have those conversations with your kids, a Bible study with your kids, you're going through the scripture with their kids, and then they're kind of like, you know, they go off into la-la land. He goes, here, listen, come back. Come back to the room, all right? Okay, my son, remember over here, dad speaking to you? What was that, dad? He says, my son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health. You know what the word health there? Another alternative word there can be in English? Medicine. God's word is God's medicine. What a prescription. I can't sleep at night. What should I do? Go to the pharmacy. Capital B. I'm overwhelmed with stress. What should I do? Go to the Word. I don't know which direction to take in life. Go to the Word. Take the medicine. Listen to this. In the Bible, the heart is not primarily the seat of the emotions. In contrast to the head is the seat of reason. Rather, the heart is the seat of your deepest trusts, commitments, and loves from which everything flows. What the heart most loves and trusts, the mind finds reasonable, the emotions find desirable, and the will finds doable. How do you guard your heart? The passage hints that, though ultimately the heart is the central control, our words, eyes, and feet can influence the heart. If we gaze longingly enough at an object, it may capture our heart through the imagination, as when Achan looked, desired, and finally stole the treasure in Joshua 7. If we speak bitterly against someone, we can sour our heart toward them. The best way to guard your heart for wisdom is worship, in which the mouth, the mind, the imagination, and even the whole body are oriented to God. Beautiful. Guard your heart. Guard your heart. Let your word dwell in your heart. Whatever is in the heart in abundance is going to make a convert of the mind. That's why we need to soak our hearts, our homes, our lives around the things of God and around the truth of God. You know, when our kids were little, how many of you remember the days of cassette tapes? I did have some 8-tracks, but I'm talking about now cassette tapes. Yeah, you had 8, right, Don? 8-tracks? Well, that's really old. Cassette tapes. And what we used to do is, of course, Joshua was first born, then we just bought the go through the Bible. Alexander Scourby. They'd go to bed. Genesis chapter 1, just play every night. Play through the Bible. And then his little baby girl, they're in the same room, playing Alexander Scourby. But ironically, now that I think of it, I was always the one going into the room to put in the next cassette, and Lizzie got a lot of nice sleeps. But anyways, and it was amazing how even at that young age, the Word of God, the power of God's Word was going in. It was going in. Even if they were sleeping, it's going in. And how important it is, because we need to hide God's Word in our heart. Right? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in season, and his leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Keep, now, verse 23. Guard your heart again with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. In other words, above all else, guard your affections, beloved. We must guard our hearts because the heart is the depository of all wisdom and the source of whatever affects life and character. As the heart is either pure or corrupt, so is the whole course of a man's life. And here is the dad, here is the mom, I'm sure. Because Timothy was raised by a godly mother and grandmother, teaching their children the importance of guarding their heart. How many parents in this day and age tell their children the importance of guarding their heart? The need to guard your heart. Because every single one of us knows tonight how apt our affections and desires can be pulled away in this way and that way. And we've got to guard it, that we do not allow those things to come in and affect the way we think and the way we act and who we choose to do life with. Amen? Amen. We need to renew our mind with God's word. I read, a prescription in a bottle will do a sick person no good. You could have a Bible on your nightstand, but if you don't open it, you don't read it, and you don't apply it, it's like having a good prescription from a good doctor if you have some kind of an ailment and you never take it. I would need to be people who realize this is the most precious medicine that I need. This is the medicine for my soul. This is the medicine for my affections. This is the medicine for my mind. This is the GPS that keeps me heavenly minded in a world that is so contrary to this, and passing it on to our children. And I know it's tough because sometimes they don't listen, especially when they become teenagers. Just keep at it, mom and dad. And even when they're older, keep at it. God's word does not return void. Put away from you a froward mouth and perverse lips put far from you. So now they're telling about how to steward what comes out of your mouth. How many of you know how important words are? We're going to see this as we're going through the Proverbs. Perverse lips are lips that are false, dishonored, or twisted. Because a froward or deceitful or a perverse word is often used to cover up a froward or deceitful or a perverse action. How important it is, again, to think twice, listen twice before you speak. Have you ever said anything that you've regretted? If the Lord should mark iniquities, who would stand? I'd like to think that as I'm getting older, I want to think more before I speak. I want to make sure that what I say has some substance to it. And he's telling his son and his daughter, be honest. Don't give your way to anything that is lesser than integrity. Paul says, let your speech be always with salt, with grace, seasoned with salt. Paul says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. And you know, you're never too old to learn. I'm learning more and more the value of godly, wholesome words and speaking, how important they are. A couple more verses and we're all done, beloved. Let your eyes look right on, and let your eyelids look straight before you. In other words, pursue a sincere and direct purpose, avoiding distractions, avoiding temptations. Look right on. There's so much eye candy out there, isn't there? And let that eye candy, you define it. There's so much that it's out there. We need to be looking right on. Our eyelids looking right on. Psalm 101 verse 3 says, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I won't. That's why I love watching baseball. It's good. Of course, I have to turn the commercials off, but it's good. It's good, wholesome. Psalm 119, verse 37 says, turn away my eyes from beholding vanity and quicken me in your way. You know what the eyes are made for? I will lift up my eyes into the hills from where my help comes from. Looking upward. That's what the Father is telling the children. Look upward. Don't look to the left. Don't look to the right. Look up. Ponder. Give careful thought to the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. Some translations read, make level the paths of your feet. And it suggests the idea of avoiding things that are going to trip you up or are going to cause you to do something that you know you ought not to do. And how many of us now that we're born again look back and say, wow, how many times did I get tripped up or stumble because I wasn't heeding God's word? Thank God that he allows U-turns. Thank God that he restores. Thank God that he's put us on that path tonight. Isn't that wonderful, beloved, how he's rescued us from that path of destruction, the path of the wicked, the path of death, that wide path that leads to destruction. I'm so thankful for that he's given us a clear path to walk on, and it's so wonderful. And now he's telling his children, and no doubt Solomon, he had a few issues in life that he had to deal with, right? I mean, what do you have, like a thousand, a harem of a thousand? I mean, come on. That's a lot to talk to your children about. And how many times do we find ourselves, even as parents and grandparents, teaching our children, instructing them? You see, because now if you're my age, you know, you have children and grandchildren, well, the grandchildren, all they know is Papa Ray, Pastor Ray. That's all they knew, right? And sometimes now that they're getting older, they're teens, and they'll go, hey, Papa. And I'll say, well, you know, when I was younger and I did drugs, wait, Papa, you mean you weren't always a pastor? Oh, you know, when I was younger and I did that, I go, what? What'd you do? I'll go, yeah. You got to watch where you go. You got to watch the people that are trying to influence you to go down the wrong path. Ponder the path of your feet. Let all your ways be established. Psalm 119, verse 59 says, I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. Ephesians 5:15, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. I love Haggai 1:7, consider your ways, what path you're on. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove your foot from evil, even the appearance of it. Even the appearance of it. I love the problems. The Proverbs. Actually, I said problems because when we started, when the Lord used us to start the church in Pudgies, there was a couple that came, Carl and Mary Jane, and they were new believers, but and he came up to me one day, he goes, I was reading the book of Problems last night. And I said, what? He said, yeah, Problems. And then he thought that Job was about jobs. But I love the Proverbs. Isn't it coincidental that there's 31 Proverbs, one for every day? Proverb a day keeps the flesh at bay. Mom, Dad, be encouraged. And if you have sons or daughters or grandsons or granddaughters that have gone astray, pray harder, not less. Pray harder. Because if you've sown that seed in their heart, it will not return void. You keep praying. And you keep living for Christ. Bless the Lord, oh my soul,
bless his holy, his wonderful. Join us on Monday at 6:30 p.m. for the next edition of Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
Worshiping with the saints on Sunday morning and hearing the Word of God preached from the pulpit is a wonderful thing. But if that's all you did, it would be hard to really feel connected to your church. Koinonia is named after a Greek word that is often translated as fellowship, but no single word can express its depth and richness. Koinonia means community, sharing life with one another, caring for each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. Our growth groups are small groups that meet throughout the month at church and in people's homes, where you can really get to know people, growing closer to the Lord and to each other. Check out all the groups on our website, koinoniafellowship.com.
Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.